Roster cuts are in 8 days, B. Next Tuesday. See you next Tuesday. This thing's happening. I was just talking with Brian. I was just going over the schedule for this week. Basically, boys, you're only going to see me and B tomorrow. So we're going to have a party tomorrow. But the Commanders are going to transition to their regular season schedule. During training camp, they do two-a-days, which is not the two-a-days that Brian knew, but it's two-a-days of the modern NFL, where they have the big practice in the morning, then a walkthrough in the afternoon, all sorts of meetings and film work in between. But once you get into the regular season, you get into regular season scheduling. That to me, at least what I'm seeing, is what it appears to be. They're going to go Wednesday, Thursday, 1 o'clock, then Friday, 11:30 in the NFL. You call it Fast Friday on Friday, where typically you get in a little early, you get out a little early, guys get some time with their families. Now, don't be simple-minded and think, okay, practice at 1, those guys must have an easy day. They're still getting here at 7 a.m. Jaden's still going to get here at 5:30.
Yeah.
Kingsbury's still going to get here at 4:30. Like, the guy, they still put in the same amount of work.
Yeah, workouts on Friday as well.
Right. It's just you kind of get into regular season mode. I was joking with my wife last night, like, I'm ready for regular season mode. The training camp is just banana land. All right, Brian, I have a fun idea for a segment, Landfill, maybe later this week or early next week. You know the phrase, stand on the table? You hear that around draft time. Like, yep. One scout stands on the table for one draft prospect.
Mm-hmm.
You hear it at roster cuts. Like, one coach stands on the table. I got to have this kid on the roster. Later in the week, we're going to let fans call in and stand on the table for guys they got to see on this roster in advance of next week's cutdown day. Right now, though, we're opening the phones, reacting to Saturday night in Miami. What do you think of this Commanders team? How encouraged were you by Jaden? Did you care that he slid? Is he obviously the starter? Does he need to play Sunday night against the Patriots? Also, at some point, we got to talk Andrew Wiley. We got to talk Emmanuel Forbes. We got to talk about a secondary. We got to talk about Tua going 5 for 5, marching down the field. They went for 2 fourth downs on that first drive. That is a sign of something that ain't very good. Kicking things off, line one, our guy, Derek, from the chat. What up, Derek?
Gentlemen, good morning. I'd just like to start off real quick. Happy belated birthday to our guy, B. Mitch.
Appreciate
I just want to thank you as a fan, B. Mitch, because for your play on the field to what you do off the field now in the booth, man, like, I really appreciate you as a diehard fan and what you give to us as fans now, man. So, shout out to you. I hope you hit everything straight on. I hope you hit everything straight Sunday on the course, man.
How did you play?
I didn't hit everything straight, but I hit a lot of them straight.
Well, I went out to Henson Creek yesterday, and my tee shots was kind of looking like Patterson's kicks, man. Off to the left, off to the right. But by the third and fourth hole, I got it together, just how Riley did on that fourth kick, man. So shout out to Riley. I like that he kept his composure on that.
God bless. There is not another radio caller in history that's going to call in and say shout out to Riley after going 2 of 4. All right, Derek, get to it, buddy.
Okay. So look, I like that we saw a third string defense give it all they got. I mean, by that fourth quarter, it was a real bad battle, but we saw that some of our guys out there got real hard. People could have gave up, they didn't. And I like that Luke McCaffrey, Stetson Bennett, like, we're throwing the ball around a lot. I know that a lot of talk is going on with Dotson, but this offense looks really promising the way that we sling this ball around. So what I'd like to see in the next game is just the offensive line, because how you guys talked about JD being enabled, well, that's going to take the offensive line performing at a high rate and at a productive rate. So in this next game, I'd like to look at that. Shout out to my Boston family. Shout out to you, JP family. I know that Popeyes bill from Uber Eats is going to hit your bank account, man. So
thanks, bud. All right. Thank you, bud. All right. I mean this. I really don't want to sound patronizing here. I mean this sincerely. I love that there are fans like Derek that really care about how that fourth quarter looked and guys showing heart. And, you know, McSorley, I mean, we haven't even discussed it. McSorley struggled pretty mightily in that game, but was able to put together a drive late in that game that was exciting. And, you know, you think Tinsley should have caught that? The ball was kind of behind him, kind of high, but it would have been a hell of a play if he was able to bring it down.
Yeah. But, you got to think about it. This dude was sitting at home chilling. Got in Wednesday. or Thursday, whatever it was, and you throw him in the game and say, finish this game up.
He didn't get a practice.
Yeah,
he didn't get a single
so
practice.
It's tough. That's a tough thing to do.
So why I say don't let me be patronizing here is because I love fans that care that much. And I had guys tweeting me and texting me and talking about the finish. I just don't care about final scores and wins and losses in the preseason.
No, I don't care about the wins and losses, but I care about the way guys go for it.
Right. But yeah. Specific to McSorley, outside of the like cool local story angle, like that dude's not a part of the plan. I'm glad it worked out and he had a good chance there at the end. It just, for me at that point, there were things I was far more focused on. Jeffrey, line two, this dude's name is Ko, correct? Ko from the foe? Do I have that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. Ko from the foe, what up?
Happy belated B-Day, B-Mitch. Hey, man, side note. Hey, B-Mitch, did you see Darren Sproles nominated for the Hall of Fame? He's up there for the ballot, man. Just side note, man. If he gets it, man, you always for it, but that's guaranteed you should be in there, man, because Darren Sproles, he should be in the College Football Hall of Fame, but I don't know about the NFL, man.
The first batch of people that make it is very, very wide. There's a number of cutdowns, so I wouldn't worry too much about that.
Oh, man. Hey, so another thing, was that the same kicker that was kicking on Thursday out there in the joint practice? Man, I was down there in Florida, man.
Yep.
I seen the kicker at the joint practice, man.
That's why it was so shocking. He looked good.
He nailed him. He had four over 50. Yeah.
He looked great.
60 yards. He made five in a row, man. I was down there. And I was down there on the end zone with the ones that were off. What side was y'all on, BB Mitch? I was looking for you fellas down there. I was on the.
We were way on the other side.
We were on the Dolphins. We were on the opposite side of the fans.
You were on two of them sides.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, I was over there with JD, man. Hey, our offense looked good. Kingsbury's dialing up, man. He's getting the ball out of his hands quick. He's going to hide that offensive line trouble, I guarantee you, man. But going on to the season, JD's a starter. I like what I'm seeing from him. I want to see him play this Sunday just for progression, like B-Miss said. He ain't got to play a lot, but we just want to see just progression each week from the kid and from the team, man. I like what I see. And we got to rally around Mikey, man. Mikey Sanders still is going to be our number one defensive player this year, baby.
Straight up alpha.
That dude can play, man. And the boy from Carolina, Mikey Sanders, still, he's going to be the top dog in that secondary, fellas.
Thanks for the call, bud. Okay.
Did y'all see a dude in the Chicago Bulls jersey down there on Thursday?
Nah.
I didn't see him.
Yeah, I ain't see him? All right.
Nah.
Peace and love, brother.
All right,
brother.
Take care, man. I think – now, we're probably not going to see him
Everybody
play.
In the chat thought he was sounding like Rev T.
Nah.
Died Rev T. On the chat.
Rev T has a more distinct. I thought that was a really good call. That dude had a lot to say, but it was a really good call. And he was right that, because DQ talked about this, as bad as Patterson was in the game, he nailed kicks against Miami.
Yeah, he gets height on the ball, and I think that's what they like about him. But, dude, height is necessary. Accuracy is the most necessary.
To me, the reason they like the height so much, so when they had Ahmed in here, he didn't get height on the ball at all.
He kicked it low.
So, like, compared to Ahmed, Patterson looks better.
Yeah.
But, like, if you date an ugly chick and then the next girl's not ugly but she's fat, like, that's still not who you should marry. You know what I mean?
Like, no, they may like that size, Jake.
I think they got to –
you're going to stop using these women as the
Fine, Brian. If you date an ugly man,
there you go.
And then you're like the next
you don't
dude.
Piss off the ladies, bro.
The next dude shouldn't be fat. Like keep swinging for the good-looking man. How about that? Well, I will only talk about dating men for the rest of the show.
No, you're not.
Landfill, is there any chance Patterson is the kicker when we go to Tampa?
No.
Not based off of his text from the weekend. No.
No. Like I'm 100% honest. They should consider no kicker instead of this guy. Like, if it honestly came down to that, if those were the two choices.
Jeffrey, any chance Patterson's the kicker week one?
No, not at all. It wasn't even like he was hitting the pole. He was just completely missing. I think we probably could put B out there and he'll kick more field goals than Patterson. He'll make more.
Nah, I tried that before, Jeff. I kicked the ball out of bounds. So, on a kickoff, I kicked it into the stands.
One thing that's dumb that people say is, like, when McSorley came in and struggled, I saw it on Twitter, like, oh, man, you know, Sonny Jurgensen could be better than this. Like,
no, he can't.
No, not right now. Like,
not right now.
People disrespect the level of separation from guys that are able to do that. And even when they miss, they're not regular people, right? But that said, there are a number of kickers out. There are a number of teams carrying two kickers out there. I very much believe this time, by next Wednesday, when they come out to practice next Wednesday, it's going to look different.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I'm not too angsty about Riley Patterson right now. Phone lines are open for the whole next hour, 800-636-1067.
If they don't have a bus dropping off a lot of kickers today, I'm going to be worried.
But right now, you're still just shopping the bargain bin?
Still.
Like, eventually, I mean, you could shop at a higher-end store.
I would rather turn on the game Sunday and see somebody making them instead of somebody missing them.
Eric is in College Park. What up, Eric?
Fellas, how y'all doing, man? JP, I'm a big fan. Appreciate you, man. I love what you do on the radio and on NBC and everything.
Thanks,
Kevin
buddy.
Brian, D-Lit, hey, what? I used to call in to you and Doc on the 980 days, man. I used to call you Cousin Brian. I used to call Doc, Uncle Doc, man. So, you know, I go way back with y'all, fellas, man. So, Doc, I said, D-Lit, but let me give you my thoughts on the team right now. So far, so good. JD is as expected. You know, he's looking polished. He's looking very poised. I'm liking what Kingsbury's doing so far. You know, he's giving us a good window of what he's thinking without, I feel like, exposing too much. So I like that. I like how the defense is flying around. I see a lot at the football, which we haven't seen in the previous regime with Ron. And speaking about the previous regime with Ron, watching these games is just highlighting how horrible he was. As a talent evaluator, he kind of put us really behind the eight ball. Besides Quan Martin and Kazi, he has nobody on our team that deserves to be there from what the spot that we took him. And it's kind of come at the bite us in the ass right now, man. I feel like Martavis Bryant should get more opportunities. I wanted George Pickens. I said it before the draft. I love the Pickens. I don't know why the hell he got Dodson. No disrespect. He's a humble, good kid. I like him as a kid, but he's not a great football player. He's too small. We got a bunch of miniature dynamos running around. A receiver, like, where's the big boy? Brian needs a tag. At least for next year in the draft, we know clearly what we need. We need a tackle. We need a corner, some corners. We need a
August 19th. Mm-hmm. Here's what I am not accepting. Calls about the draft next year. It's August 19th. They just played a preseason game. They've got another preseason game coming. Yo, they need corners. You're not incorrect, but football seasons are incredibly finite resources. And I'm focused on week one, not next April's draft. And I think, yo, like, one thing, if you want, for all the armchair general managers out there, start looking at rosters around the league, fourth, fifth corners that might get cut. Because those are the dudes that are going to have an impact. Like, if we all sit here, and Brian and I did our roster last week, and we could only really come up with five corners we think deserve to be on here, and then they keep more safeties. If we're doing that, if Brian and I are sitting doing that, or if you're at home calling in and talking about next year's draft, think about what the hell Peters and Newmark and Mayhew and these guys are doing. They are combing rosters to see who might end up available. That, like, the draft. Come on, man.
Yeah.
You got 17 games. Hell, if you care about Sunday night, 18 games to go. A lot can happen. The kicker thing needs to be addressed immediately. That's just reality of life. There aren't a lot of binary equations in pro football. There's 22 moving bodies almost all the time. But kicker's binary, and you got to make kicks.
I did have one thing I want to say about the kicker. I think they should, like Beamish was saying, he wants to see a truckload of kickers coming in. I do want them to have a different kicker for that next game. Because at a certain point, you just have to have standards. Like, we know this guy isn't it. Please just try something different. If the quarterback threw four straight interceptions, you wouldn't run him back out there. You just put the other guy in.
Say it again. For
the kicker sucks. They need a new one.
That, I think.
Oh, boy.
I think that will happen.
Lanfield, you're special, dog. You're a special one.
We're going to keep the phone lines going here, 800-636-1067. I believe at noon, Mitch Tischler is going to join us. I believe Barry's for Luga at 1 o'clock. And at 1:30, Sam Fortier is going to join us. I just got this on Twitter. You can tweet me at JP Finley, NBCS. Remember the kid Brian Johnson they signed? He made that game winner in Vegas.
Oh, the kicker.
He's kind of a small guy. He was from, I think he went to Gonzaga.
Most of them guys are small.
Where's he?
I don't know.
I'm looking it up. I bet he's on a roster.
Why did we let him go?
He's a free agent.
But why did we let him go? People start looking good once they leave, and then we bring somebody else in, huh?
I think they let him go because was Sly on – Sly might have been on IR, and that's when they signed who? No, dude, you know who it was. It was they cut Hopkins to sign Blewett. Yo, no matter what we think of Patterson, nobody was worse than Blewett.
Because he kept he blew it.
He would kick it into the line of scrimmage. He was like hitting linemen's butts. Remember that? Like, he didn't get the ball. He needed football blue chew. He couldn't get it up. We're taking a break. It is. B. Mitch and Finley. Now, if you are looking to buy or sell a home, you don't need to call anybody except John Leahy. You don't need a kicker. You don't need a bad kicker. You don't need a new kicker. You need to call Leahy. It's a topsy-turvy time in the marketplace. Rates are going down. Some homes are starting to sit. You know why they're sitting? Because they don't have John Leahy selling them.
Yep, just like Benjamin and Kritika, they had to move out of the state thanks to a phenomenal job opportunity. But, of course, that necessitated selling their North Potomac, Maryland home first. Further complicating matters was the fact that they also had a deadline to pay in order to get the job started on time. John and his team went out, and they faced the challenge. They were up for it. They sold the property quickly for $20,000 above the market value. And if you're looking for a seamless home selling experience, you need to reach out to our friend John Leahy as well. We're talking about John Leahy and the Fine Living Group of eXp Realty. Go to johnsellsdmv.com and find out your home values in mere seconds. Listen, John knows that life happens and things like that. He'll let you out of your contract at any time, and he offers you flexible fees customized to your needs.
That's just a few of the reasons I would call John Leahy to sell my house. And keep this in mind. If you're thinking about selling and say you need a paint or say you need to fix a couple windows, you should call Paul Henry for that. But say you need one small fix and would make your house a lot more marketable, talk to John. He can give you a loan. He can get some work done up to 50 grand's worth, and then you just settle up on the back end at closing. Stuff like that sets John apart in the real estate world. That's why I would call him, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmb.com, or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing. Winwood, who is it, Landfill?
38 Special.
I wouldn't know what he's saying.
38 Special, there you go. Now, Brian, I feel like it's fair to say you care about cosmetology more than I do.
About what?
You're very proud, Leo. This is your time of the year.
Astrology, bro.
Astrology, thank you. I never get that right. You feel a bond with fellow Leos. My daughter just turned 9 last week. You said, all right, Leo.
That's my girl.
So your birthday was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You are a Leo. Guess whose birthday is today? Your Leo brethren.
You just said, what you call them, cakes?
Cakes is one, but there's another.
T-Mac.
Certainly richer. T-Mac might have been yesterday or today, but yes.
I think T-Mac's today.
But I'm talking about a very rich person that plays in the NFL.
I don't know who.
Kirk Cousins.
Kirk's a Leo?
Big Leo energy, B.
Like nothing like a Leo.
I don't know what any of that means, but I just find it funny that you and Kirk are both Leos.
Leos are normally, like, you know, really, really, like, out there go-getters, tough. mind it.
He's been pretty tough. He's played a lot.
Nah, being tough and being tough in football and being really tough in different people, different things.
I thought you'd enjoy that. Shout out to.
I never would have said Leo with him.
Happy birthday to Kirk Cousins. Also, I want to be clear about something. In the chat, there's a discussion about who would win in a fist fight. And I do think if there was a fist fight between Jeff and Lamphill and Darius and Stallion, our boys would win by a mile. I honestly think Jeff is the one seed of all four of those people in a fist fight.
Well, he wouldn't be a four seed because he's a partner with Lamphill.
If you go 1-4, I think.
But you don't do it like that when it's tag team, JP.
Okay. Boys, how confident do you feel about taking on Stallion and Darius and winning in the fist fight?
We would have to work two shifts for about a week.
Because you'd put them down?
Because Ryan and Darius would need a vacation after that.
There you go. We'll let them respond.
I love it.
All right, phone lines are lit up here. 800-636-1067. Our guy Devon in Rockville is on the line. What's up, D?
Good morning, brothers. Good morning. As far as the Jaden Daniels, man, we clearly know we drafted him to be the starter. We already know he's going to be the starter. You just wanted to see how he will process and get that playbook down packed as soon and the line calls. It's clearly he's on progress to doing that or well ahead of Dan Quinn said. Him playing on Sunday, I don't think so. I don't think he needs to. You know, and it's not for the reason why everybody is just trying to bubble wrap him. And, you know, he got out there, like B-Miss said last week, it's not just on Jaden Daniels to keep himself healthy and clean. It's for the offensive coordinator to call plays so that the ball is out of his hand and not give up everything that we're trying to do. I think we should be geared up to for week one and allow Jaden Daniels to be Jaden Daniels. You know what I'm saying? We got him here. It's what got him here. He's going to use his legs. It's up to him to be able to know when to go down and when to go out of bounds. But I don't think we need to always scrutinize or put a microscope over every run. If he going, you can't predict injuries. If you're going to get injured, you're going to get injured. But you can't try to, like we did.
I think that's fair. I think it's a really good call, D, and I appreciate you, especially specific to the Jaden Daniels stuff. I think there's been far too much consternation about when will he be named starter. I think the competition with him and Mariota was a charade, not in a negative sense. It was just it wasn't a real thing. Like if it was a competition, Jaden won it by a pretty healthy margin. Specifically to the making a big deal out of the run, here's what happens this time of year. And I got to stretch my legs. Forgive me, B. This time of year, all we get to watch is them practice against each other, right? Mm-hmm. And then the number two overall pick, the Heisman Trophy winner, the kid where there's so much excitement, deservedly, and there's so much hype and promise, has played three series. Mm-hmm. He's thrown 15 passes. Mm-hmm. The exact – you know what the NFL wants? Do you know what Paul Tagliabue wanted? And do you know what Roger Goodell wants? Do you know what they want? Is us agonizing over 15 pass attempts. They want a full week of a top 10 media market in the country talking about a quarterback running in the preseason. This is the system they've built. So what happens when all we are served are minuscule bites of football? We overanalyze the living bleep out of them.
And we can change.
It's the system. I mean, that's the way this whole thing is drawn up.
Yeah, but we don't have to because I don't think it means much what they did the other day. They say something, and then we want to decide what they said, why they said, how they said. Who cares? Okay? They basically, if you don't want the dude to be who he is, don't play him at all.
I think he's got to run. He's going to run. And I think if you wanted something else, you're nuts. Now, over time, you think about Mahomes or even Lamar as his career has advanced. When these guys play 2, 4, 6 years in, he's probably going to be less interested in contact. Like when he's 29, he might be heading out of bounds every time. But he's learning, dude. And he said that over and over.
He said it, but like the play that happened on Saturday, I don't look at that like very much contact. somebody grabbed his legs, he fell to the ground. It's the easiest play in football. Like, when I'm watching Pat play, Pat plays. He has fun. He doesn't go out there thinking about, and I think the last thing a player of their caliber wants is someone telling them every,
totally.
Listen, bro, I don't want to be thinking about that crap. I got enough
nothing
damn,
else
I got to worry about the defense. Right. I got to worry about how they're going to get open on them. I don't want to hear all that crap. Let me go out here and be who I am. If he does something asinine or stupid, I would understand it. But he hadn't done anything stupid yet.
Totally. I think I couldn't agree more, and I think there is going to be a level of, yo, Jaden Daniels might not do everything the staff wants every moment, and that's okay, because the last thing you want to do is take any of the greatness, the excellence, the improvisational skill that this kid has, mm-hmm. don't slow that down for a quarter of a second. And I think you're so right, B, that, you know, you don't want him in his head like, oh, I got to get out of bounds. You want him thinking, when Brian Daboll tried to put him on the spot at the combine and drew up this crazy play, then changed it, then made the routes different, then moved the safeties, and his answer was, I'm going to throw a touchdown. Mm-hmm. You want that mindset. You want that mindset every day.
But the thing of it is, we draft the rookie, and I think everybody's at fault with this. Us in the media, the fans, the damn coaches. You draft somebody, you say they got a lot to learn, but then you expect them to know every damn thing. You want them to be perfect. Makes no sense to me. I just think the way people, if you go through something one time, it will stick a lot better than somebody telling you to don't do it. Because the way I've always been, when you say don't do something, I'm wondering why you're telling me don't do it. I'm going to try it. And then if I figure out it was something that you were, maybe you're telling me something that's going to help me and benefit me. Maybe. But maybe you just don't want me to try because you don't want me to see what I could possibly get done. You know what I mean? So sometimes just don't say anything. And I guarantee you it'll get over to him better. One thing about him, he's cool as hell. He's calm. He's competitive as they come. And you don't want to ever take that out of him.
You learn a lot more by doing than you do reading. Or, you know, like, if you make a mistake, you learn a lot. If you touch an oven, you're not going to touch it again.
There you go.
You know, like, I mean this sincerely. I don't think we're going to see any more of Jaden Daniels in the preseason. And I frankly don't know how much better it could have been. Like, I think the grade is an A, maybe an A+. And I think fans should be ecstatic. And if you're worked up over, go watch the hit again. You're right, B. It's not a significant hit. It's a hit in that he hasn't been touched, you know, since he was playing at LSU. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't a significant, oh, my God, are we ever going to be able to move forward? You know what is an, oh, my God, are we ever going to be able to move forward? The crazy-ass weather in the DMV. This time of year, it gets super hot. But with these storms coming, it's supposed to be pretty cool the next couple days. No matter what the temperature is, you need to be ready with a $99 heating and cooling check from the five-star experts at Crop Metcalf. That's right. For just $99, a Crop Metcalf five-star technician will check both your home's heating and cooling system and assure peace of mind today, no matter what the weather brings tomorrow. Call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit cropmetcalf.com. Mitch Tischler will join us in about 12 minutes, about an hour from now. I need to know what's going on with my man Paul Skeens. B and I were trying to figure it out, but I know that baseball's changed a lot of the rules. Like, are you trying to control this kid? What happens if he wins Rookie of the Year? The official baseball insider for the B. Mitch Finley program, Toby Altizer, will join us at 12:45. Right now, we're going to keep these phones going. My guy JaVale is in Culpeper. JaVale, what did you see Saturday night? What do you want to see going forward?
Hey, Mr. Mitchell, Finley, nice to talk to you guys again. Good. The football season is still here. It's getting back again. I've been excited about what I've seen. I believe Jaden Daniels is as advertised. I really feel that it could have been a toss up between him and Caleb Williams as 1 and 2. But very glad in what we've gotten out of him in the preseason and going forward. But what made me call you guys is you were talking about Dommy Brown a couple of segments ago, and as far as how, you know, the whole complexion of him as a player could change due to a different quarterback, a different system, whether it's coaching, you know, offensive coordinator, whatever have you. And I believe that 100%. But I also feel that for other players as well, that have come in, that this regime has brought in, especially Jeremy Chen coming from Carolina, and also Alamide Zaccheaus. Being a UVA fan, I saw Alamide his entire career at UVA, really good player. And what he has done in the NFL, you know, between this time in Atlanta and Philly, like, he's been productive. Like he's been much more productive than Dommy Brown has been. And if you look at the depth chart from the team, the best corner, and that's been a high topic on defense, Mikey Sanders is our best corner. He may line up in the slot, but he is our number one corner right now.
It's going there's into no the debate. There's no debate, dude. I just don't know that he has the size to play on the outside, but they'll figure that out pretty quick.
He got enough size.
He's got – I mean, that's the ultimate size of the fighting in the dog.
I think Mike is listed at 5'10".
Yeah.
He's taller than D. Green.
Yeah.
What was D. Green listed at?
5'9".
Thanks for the call, JaVale. It's a good call, man. I think there's zero debate if Sam Russell's the best corner on there. And in run support – and granted, he's at the slot, so he's a little closer to kind of the line of scrimmage or to the box. But he is so good at chasing down run plays going the opposite way of him. And some of that stuff is effort, determination, willingness. One more call here. Q-Ball is in D.C. What up, Q?
What up, fellas? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
All right, I wanted to apologize last week, guys. I called in, I was on a toll road, and I lost you. So I had some good things to talk about. So Saturday, I still want to see some more reps from JD, even if it's one series. More reps won't hurt him. He's awesome. I want to focus on the secondary. Double shout-out to Jeremy Reeves. My God, hell of a comeback from that injury. He was laying the lumber on over the weekend. The kid Noah, I can't pronounce his last name. And then another young man they don't really talk about, A.J. Wood. Right. I just wanted to focus on that secondary. I still see a lot of things that I'm worried about. I don't know about the young man that they put all the hype on, the first-round pick. But as far as the wide receiver position, I think Jahan Dotson, the heat is starting to tick up a little bit. And last but not least, can somebody please check on Mark Mosley and Chip Lowmiller to make sure they still got a pulse after watching the horrible kicking from this young man Saturday? After the first miss, I said, warm up the showers. After the second miss, I said, leave the cleats at the sideline. Thanks, gentlemen.
All right, bro.
Thanks, dude. I've seen Mr. Mose. I don't know if he's still kicking, but I haven't seen Chip in a while. What's he? He's a big boater, right, out in Minnesota or something?
Chip likes the boat. Chip's about, 6'4"? He's a tall kicker.
Unit. Yeah. Usually the guys are small.
Yeah. I just, listen, man, that position right there, it's a lot of stress.
Leadville, I have a question for the room. As last week we were talking about Jaden Daniels calling an audible, this week it's Jaden Daniels running and not sliding. If you watched it all, and I'm guessing if you're listening to our program, you've probably seen the highlights by now of Caleb Williams in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Do you think Bears fans are calling into Bears radio and are like, yo, don't let him run. Don't let him do that. Like, that's who Caleb is. And frankly, I think Caleb is more about buying time behind the line of scrimmage, like kind of elongating the pocket and everything.
You take big hits like that, too.
Totally. But he's a freaking magician. Is that a unique DC thing? Or do you think people in Chicago are freaking out about Caleb Williams running around behind the line?
I don't know if they're freaking out as much as we do here. It can't be.
I don't know. I'm curious.
I don't think it can be.
That might be something interesting to check in on. Like,
we can call Brad, Big Biggs, and find out.
Lanville, that's a hell of a tweet, or text, rather. I'm going. That's all the callers, right? I got to everybody? I think I did. Pat myself on the back. I am fascinated if other franchise fans, like the Bills fans, Josh Allen's been running a lot at this point. Josh Allen's a running quarterback. I know that we hesitate to say that about white people, but it's true. He's a running quarterback. Do you think in Buffalo all the time, they're like, no, don't do it, get down? Or are they just like, please stop throwing interceptions at high leverage times?
Yeah, true. That's what they want me to do, stop turning the ball over. And I know people claim I'm a Josh Allen hater. In Buffalo, they don't like him turning the ball over as much as I don't like him turning the ball over.
But running is part of what Jaden Daniels do. I pulled these numbers up. Last year at a small college in Baton Rouge, you might have heard of it, Louisiana State University, Jaden Daniels ran the ball 135 times. In every SEC game and in the opener against Florida State, he ran at least 10 times. Some of those are scrambles, him getting out of the pocket and just running. But a lot of those are, I mean, designed quarterback runs. Against Bama, he ran for 160 yards.
Yeah.
Like, don't take that away. The Florida game where he said he felt his best. 17 of 26, completed 65% of his passes. 370 pass yards with 3 touchdowns. Oh, and by the way, 12 carries for 234 yards and another 2 touchdowns on the ground. You don't take that away from a player.
Let him do it, man.
He'll learn to be smart over time. Mitch Tischler. Mitch Tischler will join us in about 12 minutes, about an hour from now. I need to know what's going on with my man Paul Skeens. B and I were trying to figure it out, but I know that baseball's changed a lot of the rules. Like, are you trying to control this kid? What happens if he wins Rookie of the Year? The official baseball insider for the B. Mitch Finley program, Toby Altizer, will join us at 12:45. Right now, we're going to keep these phones going. My guy JaVale is in Culpeper. JaVale, what did you see Saturday night? What do you want to see going forward?
Hey, Mr. Mitchell, Finley, nice to talk to you guys again. Good. The football season is still here. It's back again. I've been excited about what I've seen. I believe Jaden Daniels is as advertised. I really feel that it could have been a toss up between him and Caleb Williams as 1 and 2, but very glad in what we've gotten out of him in the preseason and going forward. But what made me call you guys is you were talking about Dommy Brown a couple of segments ago, and as far as how, you know, the whole complexion of him as a player could change due to a different quarterback, a different system, whether it's coaching, you know, offensive coordinator, whatever have you. And I believe that 100%. But I also feel that for other players as well that have come in that this regime has brought in, especially Jeremy Chen coming from Carolina, and also Alamide Zaccheaus. Being a UVA fan, I saw Alamide his entire career at UVA, really good player. And what he has done in the NFL, you know, between this time in Atlanta and Philly, like, he's been productive. Like he's been much more productive than Dyami Brown has been. And if you look at the depth chart from the team, the best corner, and that's been a high topic on defense, Mikey Sanders is our best corner. He may line up in the slot, but he is our number one corner right now.
There's no debate, dude. I just don't know that he has the size to play on the outside, but they'll figure that out pretty quick.
He got enough size.
He's got – I mean, that's the ultimate size of the fight in the dog.
I think Mikey's listed at 5'10".
Yeah.
He's taller than D. Green.
Yeah.
What was D. Green listed at?
5'9".
Thanks for the call, JaVale. It's a good call, man. I think there's zero debate if Samardzija is the best corner on there. And in run support, and granted he's at the slot, so he's a little closer to kind of the line of scrimmage or to the box, but he is so good at chasing down run plays going the opposite way of him. And some of that stuff is effort, determination, willingness. One more call here. Q-Ball is in D.C. What up, Q?
What up, fellas? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
All right, I wanted to apologize last week, guys. I called in, I was on a toll road, and I lost you. So I had some good things to talk about. So Saturday, I still want to see some more reps from JD, even if it's one series. More reps won't hurt him. He's awesome. I want to focus on the secondary. double shout out to Jeremy Reeves. My God, hell of a comeback from that injury. He was laying the lumber on over the weekend. The kid Noah, I can't pronounce his last name. And then there's another young man they don't really talk about, O.J. Wood. Right. I just wanted to focus on that secondary. I still see a lot of things that I'm worried about. I don't know about the young man that they put all the hype on, the first-round pick. But as far as the wide receiver position, I think Jahan Dotson, the heat is starting to tick up a little bit. And last and not least, can somebody please check on Mark Mosley and Chip Lowmiller to make sure they still got a pulse after watching the horrible kicking from this young man Saturday? After the first miss, I said, warm up the showers. After the second miss, I said, leave the cleats at the sideline. Thanks, gentlemen.
Hi, bro. Thanks, dude. I've seen Mr. Mose. I don't know if he's still kicking, but I haven't seen Chip in a while. What's he? He's a big boater, right? Out in Minnesota or something?
Chip likes the boat. Chip's about, what, 6'4"? He's a tall kicker.
Unit. Yeah. Usually the guys are small.
Yeah. I just, listen, man, that position right there, it's a lot of stress.
Leadville, I have a question for the room. As last week we were talking about Jaden Daniels calling an audible, this week it's Jaden Daniels running and not sliding. If you watched it all, and I'm guessing if you're listening to our program, you've probably seen the highlights by now of Caleb Williams in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Do you think Bears fans are calling into Bears radio and are like, yo, don't let him run. Don't let him do that. Like, that's who Caleb is. And frankly, I think Caleb is more about buying time behind the line of scrimmage, like kind of elongating the pocket and everything.
You take big hits like that, too.
Totally. And but he's a freaking magician. Is that a unique DC thing? Or do you think people in Chicago are freaking out about Caleb Williams running around behind the line?
I don't know if they're freaking out as much as we do here. It can't be.
I don't know. I'm curious.
I don't think it can be.
That might be something interesting to check in on. Like,
we can call Brad Big Biggs and find out.
Lanville, that's a hell of a tweet or a text rather. I'm going. That's all the callers, right? I got to everybody. I think I did. Pat myself on the back. I am fascinated if other franchise fans, like the Bills fans, Josh Allen's been running a lot at this point. Josh Allen's a running quarterback. I know that we hesitate to say that about white people, but it's true. He's a running quarterback. Do you think in Buffalo all the time, they're like, no, don't do it, get down? Or are they just like, please stop throwing interceptions at high leverage times?
Yeah, true. That's what they want me to do, stop turning the ball over. And I know people claim I'm a Josh Allen hater. In Buffalo, they don't like him turning the ball over as much as I don't like him turning the ball over.
But running is part of what Jaden Daniels do. I pulled these numbers up. Last year at a small college in Baton Rouge, you might have heard of it, Louisiana State University, Jaden Daniels ran the ball 135 times. In every SEC game and in the opener against Florida State, he ran at least 10 times. Some of those are scrambles, him getting out of the pocket and just running. But a lot of those are, I mean, designed quarterback runs. Against Bama, he ran for 160 yards.
Yeah.
Like, don't take that away. The Florida game where he said he felt his best. 17 of 26, completed 65% of his passes. 370 pass yards with 3 touchdowns. Oh, and by the way, 12 carries for 234 yards and another 2 touchdowns on the ground. You don't take that away from a player. He'll learn.
Let him do it, man.
He'll learn to be smart over time. Mitch Tischler,